In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's good. Good, that was it. That was, give him a round of applause. Such a good job. All right, so this first story at the very beginning of the Bible is God creating the heavens and the earth. Now, it then talks about how God created these things, and it's an amazing story. I want to challenge you to read it this week. But basically, like, God uses his words to create everything. So what he does is he goes, tree, boom, roasted tree shows up. But it wasn't just that the tree showed up, like a picture of the tree. That's not all he did. In fact, what he did in that moment when he created that tree, when he said that word, he created everything about the tree. All the superheroes, superpowers that the tree had, all of the way that it wired and was functioned was created in that one word. And so all of a sudden, that tree could chlorophyllize. Make chlorophyll, that's a word for the process of making chlorophyll. It could photosynthesize, which actually is a real word, the process of making the photosynthesis thing that you, I'm sure, are learning about. It could make acorns, and it dropped the acorns and could create new trees. So when God said tree, it wasn't just a picture, it was everything about that tree. It was wired to do all of the things that it did. And the same thing is true when it created the lake. And when he created the sky and the clouds and the mountains and the animals, he created the wiring for all of those things. And when he stepped back and he looked at it and he said, oh, that's good. That's good. Everything he made, he stepped back and said, whoa, that's good. Right? He said that, and that's this process of him creating as he went. And it was amazing. Now, here's the thing. I want you to think of the last time you saw something in nature that made you step back and go, whoa, that's crazy. Maybe it was a sunset or a waterfall or something like that. I want you to get a picture of what that thing was in your head. And you step back and you said, whoa, that thing is good. Now, hold on to that idea for a second, because I want to jump down to verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27, because as God is creating creation, he then creates the pinnacle, the summit, the zenith, the best thing about creation, and it's you and it's me, and this is what it says in verse 27. Who can read that for me? All right, real loud, Haley.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Fantastic. So God, after he's created everything else, he says, oh, I'm going to make something really good. And he creates man and woman, and he does it in his own image. Now, here's the thing. The cool thing is that what it's saying is that when he goes, man, boom, and man is created, he created the wiring and the functioning for man to exist, just like he created the tree. Right? He functions and he wires us in that moment. And he also hardwires a piece of his image, something nothing else in creation gets. You get. A piece of his image is implanted and hardwired into the core of you. And one way that that plays itself out is that when you see a piece of nature and you go, whoa, that's good. That is the exact same thing that God does when he made all of that stuff. You are a reflection of him. It's not just Christians that step back and say, whoa, that's a good sunset. Everybody does that because that's a piece of God that has been hardwired in us. It's like God is moving inside of us and he's saying, hey, there's evidence inside of you that I exist. I'm moving inside of you. The same thing happens when we hear like heroic stories, right? Like a firefighter like busts through the door and jumps in and rescues the dog of the burning building, right? Or you see the YouTube videos where like somebody's winning the race and they like trip and fall down and the second place winner who's now winning the race like goes back and is like, oh, let me help you. We'll do this together. We're gonna win the race together, right? Like you see that and you're like, whoa, that person just did that. Or you see a movie that's about redemption or forgiveness or something like that. And like, or a Hallmark commercial where the mom is like, I love you, daughter. You're so great. And you're like, oh, they're eating milk and cookies. That's so sad, right? And like something inside of you stirs or it moves you. And that is God's image in you. That's God reminding you, hey, I've hardwired myself inside of you. So what I want you to do is in your groups, I want you to talk about question 3 and question 4. You're going to have like 3 minutes. Go. Okay, guys, 10 more seconds. We'll bring it back, whole group. All right. Now, the crazy thing is, here's the truth. My phone looks like it is completely wireless. Like it looks like it operates independently of itself. Independent with itself. Independently of anything else. That's right. It looks wireless, but the truth is that it's not wireless. There's a cord that I have to use to charge it, and also there's a whole bunch of other systems that are operating in order to make my phone work. Now, at the very beginning, how many of you chose that your cell phone was the number one piece of technology you would want to keep? Okay, great. Now, here's the thing. If you had chosen your cell phone, but all other technology shut down, your cell phone actually wouldn't work anymore. Because you need all this other technology in order to actually make your phone work. Now, it's not wireless. It's connected to other things. Now, the same thing is true with you and me. We seem completely wireless. Like, look, you could put a hula hoop around me, and like I could step through it, and there's no wires attached to me. I'm wireless. But that's actually not true. We look wireless, but we're not. We are attached to a life source. We are attached to something else that makes us operate and makes us work. We are not wireless. We are dependent on God to be our life source. We're dependent on each other. There's lots of wires that are attached. But when we see no evidence of God in our world, it makes us believe that we are wireless. It makes it really hard to believe that he is actually there. But when we start to see evidence of who he is, all of a sudden, we realize that he's a little less invisible, that he really, really, really is there. Now, I want you to think of something real quick. I want you to raise your hand. And for some of you, this may put you in an awkward position, but you're going to be fine. We're not going to share any names. But what I want you to do is I want you to raise your hand if you have ever had a crush on somebody for a really long time. You've had a crush on somebody for a really long time. Okay, keep your hands in the air if that person, like you were friends with that person for a really long time, and then you started to like them differently. Okay, keep your hands in the air if that was your story. All right, okay, put those hands back down. Put your hand back up if it was like you walked in the room one day and you were like, oh, hi. Hi there, how you doing, right? Okay, put your hand up in the air if that's how your crush started. Okay, great, all right, put your hands down. Okay, here's the thing, this is the cool thing. Every love story begins with this whole idea of two people noticing each other. Sometimes it's like, hey, you were friends for a really long time and you were like brother and sister and that was fine. And then you like looked over and you're like, oh, well, hi there. Like you notice that person differently. Or you walk in the room and all of a sudden you see them and you're like, oh my gosh. Sorry, I think girls just do that. I don't know if guys do that sort of, right? But like you have this moment where you notice the other person, and every love story starts that way. Like whether it's in real life or it's in the movies or a book or whatever, it starts that way. Vice versa. A love story never happens if two people don't notice each other, right? A love story never happens unless two people notice each other. Now, here's what I want you to get. If you want to love God, if you want to see him, here's where you got to start. You got to notice him. His evidence of his existence are all around you. They are everywhere that you could possibly imagine. They're in the sunset. They're in the sunrise. They're in the rainbow. They're in the waterfall. They're in the way that a tree works. They're in science class as you are learning about God's creation. They are in your mom when your mom gives you grace when you didn't deserve it. They're in your friend that even though you threw up on them in the bus, they say, I still want to be your friend. That is God's wiring. That is these great things. Anytime you watch a movie that you are moved to excitement, to joyous, like, woo, or tears or anything like that. That is God's evidence that he is here in this place. Whenever you are moved inside of you, that is evidence. But the question is, are you going to notice him? And my challenge for you this week is for you to notice him, because you will never be able to love him unless you start to notice him and notice all of the ways that he has shown up in the world that you live in. So guys, I want to challenge you to go ahead and answer questions 5 and 6. 30 more seconds. What? All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and pray to close out, but this is just the one thing I want to let you know. If you're at a place where you're not so sure about God yet, you're like, I don't really know what to do with him. I don't really know how to respond to him. I don't know how to connect with him. I don't know what this whole thing looks like. That's okay. I want you to know that that's okay. That's really why we're here, because we're on a journey to try to figure this thing out together. But what I want to challenge you with is I actually want to dare you. In the words of a famous student, do it, you won't. Does that anybody say that? Do it, you won't. Yeah, David says that. Okay, so what I want to dare you to do is to notice God this week. And if that means like you keep a list on your bathroom mirror or in your room or something like that of all of the ways that you noticed God, you noticed his wiring, you noticed him moving inside of you, his hardwiring in you, I want you to notice him. And I want to challenge you to just notice him as much as possible this week so that you can begin to see the evidence of him all around you. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. If you guys want to circle up in your little groups and hold hands, that'd be great. If you're like, oh, I can't hold hands, they just picked their nose, that's fine too. You can just like touch elbows or like hold your own hands or whatever. But let's go ahead, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are so powerful that you created these things that function and wired a specific way. And God, that you put evidence of yourself inside of us so that we can recognize you, so that we can notice you. I ask that you would just stir inside of each one of us, that you would make yourself known to us, and that we would see you in all these incredible ways. We would see the evidence of who you are every day in our lives. God, we worship you. We praise you. We think you're awesome. In your holy and precious name, amen. All right, guys, we will see you Wednesday or next Sunday.